The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
What a lineup we have for you on Sunday. Another NBA battle between LA's finest, Lakers Clippers, 3:30 Eastern on ABC. On ESPN, the NCAA Women's National Championship game is at 6 Eastern. And our Sunday night baseball matchup, the series finale between the White Sox and Angels. Now that's a lineup coming your way Sunday on the family of networks, ESPN, ABC, and much more. With that, we welcome you back to another hour of Get Up, live as always. From above the Heineken River Deck at Pier 17, my name is Greeny, and here comes the menu. It is time to get up with Big Mac. The Bama QB on the field today. Are the Niners ready to make him the third pick in the draft? Meanwhile, he's not alone. Justin Fields also in action this day. You'll hear one voice saying he actually should be number two. Oh, this is getting good, and we'll be all over it. Plus, feeling the heat. Which young NFL quarterback is under the most pressure to get it done this year? We'll answer all those questions as we get up with you, starting right now. With the 49ers and their quarterback situation, which has been interesting for quite some time. It began last year when starter Jimmy Garoppolo missed 10 games due to injury, including each of the final eight. They were 3-3 with him. They were 3-7 without. That resulted in last Friday, the team trading up in the draft, presumably, to take one of the big quarterback prospects in this draft. They went up from 12 to 3. And then it was announced that the general manager John Lynch and the coach Kyle Shanahan would be at Alabama's pro day today to scout Mac Jones and not Ohio State's for Justin Fields. All very interesting. Meanwhile, here's Shanahan on where Jimmy G fits into this whole picture.
It's going to be hard to find a quarterback that gives us a better chance to win than Jimmy right now, especially even a rookie in the draft. So that's what you look into. Now, if someone wanted something for that and it can make your team better in a lot of other ways, you listen to that, but also depends on how good you feel about that rookie. We're not there yet right now, and odds are we probably won't be. We got a guy in here who we know we can win with. We're excited to have him this year, and we're excited to have a hell of a quarterback right behind him, learning from when the time's his.
And we are excited to welcome Booger McFarland into the conversation. George, oh, we got a very LSU feel. You're all of a sudden outnumbered, Pollock, 2-1 by the LSU guys over the Georgia guys. But Booger,
what's happening?
Let me come to you here to begin this conversation. All right, so we are acting under the assumption, and I think that San Francisco is as well, that Trevor Lawrence and Zach Wilson will be off the board when they pick now at number 3. Who should they take in that spot, Booger?
You know, Green, if it were me, I would take Justin Fields. I think he's the quarterback that gives you the most upside as far as can he win with second reaction plays? Can he be elusive? Can he develop and grow into a better pocket passer? Now, that's the guy with the highest ceiling. But if you're going with a guy, if you're Kyle Shanahan, that fits what he likes to do, that fits the system, where Kyle Shanahan can kind of play Madden a little bit. You put Mac Jones on the field and you tell Mac, hey, Mac, here's what I want you to do. Mac's going to do it. That's what he did at Alabama. And so I think if you're Kyle, you're trying to find the quarterback that you can control the most. He may not go above and beyond the play call, but he will do exactly what you want to do. He may not be a Hall of Famer, but I think Kyle feels like him being one of the best play callers in the National Football League, if Mac will do what he says, he can coach him up and he'll get the second coming, if not better, than Matt Ryan. At least that's what Kyle thinks. I would take Justin Fields because I think there's a bigger upside, but it doesn't sound like that's what Kyle wants to do.
So let's do a little preview here. Pollock, you'll be on ABC the night of the draft, round one of the draft. And if they turn in the card, if Roger Goodell gets up there and says with the third pick in the 2021 NFL draft, the San Francisco 49ers take Mac Jones, what will you say, David?
I'll be surprised. I don't look at Mac Jones and think Mac Jones isn't a good player. I love all the things that we've broke down at nauseam and his ability to process and throw on time. And he's got a bunch of physical gifts. When I think of the draft and I think of I'm taking somebody in the top five, I just think of electric, dynamic, franchise changer. And listen, Jimmy G, first of all, I thought it was funny the way they handled that. Like, yeah, listen, we're looking, you know, we're traded up, we're excited, but, you know, look, let's also realize that if we get some calls, like, listen, we could also give away Jimmy Garoppolo. But I think when I look at Kyle Shanahan, when I look at the 49ers, and I look at my division now, and I look at McVay with Stafford, and I look at LaFleur with Rodgers and all this stuff, I'm going, bro, I got to have something. I need something dynamic to work with. I don't have that. Jimmy G isn't that, so I need something fun. I would love to see Kyle Shanahan with all of his creativity, all of a sudden now with a running quarterback, true running quarterback like that, I think he could even have more fun with a Justin Fields. So Marcus, I'd be surprised if Mac Jones went three.
All right, so let me come to you then, Marcus. Now it's get up the morning after the draft, or it's the NFL, it's NFL Live, the day after round one of the draft, and they have taken Mac Jones number three. What will the big swagoo say?
I was today years old when I realized that you trade all them damn picks away for Mac Jones. Because what he has done ain't jumped off the board for nobody. And this is not, like, it gets hard as an analyst because people think you railing on these cats. No, Mac Jones was really good in college. I thought he should have more notoriety going into this draft, but not at three. And not when you give away all of those picks. Yeah. To draft the same guy, essentially, to me, I could be different. I'm not a QB evaluator guru. But I've watched football for a long time, played in this league for a long time, and have had to break down quarterbacks from a defensive perspective. It ain't a damn thing you could tell me Mac Jones did that Jimmy Garoppolo can't do. So if you're trying to get something better, what gives in this situation outside of just getting young? And I don't think Jimmy G is on the books for a lot of money. So it ain't resetting no clock like you like to say, G, about, oh, let's just get younger and get rid of the quarterback. The bottom line is this. If they gave all of that away to get Mac Jones, you should have just stuck with Jimmy G.
We'll get more to Garoppolo a little later. Booger, give me a final word on this. Go.
Well, I think it's important to remember, if you understand why we're here, Kyle Shanahan is tired of the rest of his team improving, but the quarterback position is not. He feels like he should have a Super Bowl championship if Jimmy Garoppolo can make that one throw. And Swaggy, to your point, we don't know if Mac Jones can be better than Garoppolo. Number one, Garoppolo hasn't been healthy. Mac Jones has been pretty durable during his career, even though he hadn't played a lot. I think also, if you look at Mac Jones, can Mac Jones make those throws? They can make one throw, they're Super Bowl champions. And if Kyle does get the pick of Mac Jones, he feels like that Mac can make that one throw. Kyle thinks he's the best play caller in football. He feels like I can put any quarterback in position to make the play. I don't need you to make the second reaction play. I need you to make the play that I call and the play that I coach up. And if that's what he feels with Mac Jones, he's going to take it.
Go ahead, Marcus.
I just want to remind everybody, because that's a great point Boog made. But we talking about the San Francisco 49ers in the Super Bowl. They got Russell Wilson, Kyler Murray, and now Matt Stafford in their damn division. So if you think Mac Jones going to get you out of that based on your play calling, go for it, boss.
As you can see, this is going to be very interesting. Meanwhile, the intrigue might actually start before we get to number three. When all these trades broke on Friday, our own Dan Graziano went on a Twitter storm. I don't know if that's the right word. He tweeted a lot of things, including, he wrote this, the Jets obviously know who they're taking at two, probably the guy they're watching now in Provo, meaning Zach Wilson, because there's no way the Niners would have made that trade for the three without first trying for the two. And look, I mean, Mel Kiper, his latest big board just came out. It's available right now. And as you can see, like everyone else on our set, he's got Zach Wilson rated behind Justin Fields. Now, it's just barely behind him, but it is behind Justin Fields. And so as I bring Graziano into the conversation, I feel like we're talking about this as though it is a foregone conclusion that Wilson is going to go number two. We're talking about this as though there is as much certainty of that as there is of Lawrence going number one. Dan, is that the right way for us to be approaching this?
Not quite as much certainty, that's for sure. But I think when you heard Kyle Shanahan talk yesterday, he spoke like that. He indicated that, you know, their belief is that Lawrence obviously will go number one, and that the Jets are kind of putting out signals there that it'll be Zach Wilson at number two. So if that's what Kyle Shanahan is getting, I think it's fair for us to go down that road with him. At this point, look, there's a month to go. I mean, things can change, and sometimes there are smoke screens, but it certainly sounds like the Jets know exactly who they're going to take. If the Dolphins got three first-round picks and a third-round pick for the three pick, and the Jets didn't want that, then that tells me they're going to stay put and that they have their guy at quarterback. And the indications we're getting are that it's Zach Wilson, yes.
All right. And so, Berger, let's do that again. Here's Mel telling us that he has Fields ranked ahead of Wilson, and he's not the only one. Now, the difference is, again, it's a narrow margin. But how about that? Do you believe that at number two it should be Zach Wilson, or should Fields go there?
No, Greeny, I think I agree. I think Zach Wilson should be number two. Listen, both of these guys are projects. They both have a lot to work on. But if you just look at a couple of little things, number one, throwing with anticipation and throwing with quickness. I think Zach Wilson did that a little bit better than Justin Fields. Some of the off-platform throws, Zach Wilson can do that. And then just the overall arm talent, Greeny, the ability. We all saw the throw at Pro Day or whatever. I could care less about Pro Day, but it just shows you how lively that Zach Wilson's arm is. The problem in New York has never been the quarterback, okay? I think everybody's talked about this. The problem in New York, Greeny, has been Adam Gase. So if they're going to take a quarterback at number two, we better hope that LaFleur and Saleh can make sure that they surround whoever they take at that position to make sure you can support him. I still think Sam Darnold, you can win with Sam Darnold. I still think Sam Darnold is a very good quarterback. He can make some of the same throws. So what's going to be the difference? If you put Wilson, Fields in there, what's going to be the difference? The difference is going to be what you surround the quarterback with, and can that quarterback be coached up? Because the quarterbacks in New York haven't been coached up, mainly Sam Darnold. Adam Gase failed Sam Darnold in New York. Hopefully LaFleur won't fail the next quarterback there.
I agree with that. That's a whole other discussion, but it doesn't seem that they're taking that part of it into consideration. So, Marcus, I'll come to you. Are they doing the right thing by choosing Wilson over Fields at two?
Not in my opinion, G, but listen, this is one of those conundrums, right? Like, you either Ryan Pace and you drafted Mitchell Trubisky and passed up all of those other guys, or you either Brett Veach in Kansas City and you jump up and take Patrick Mahomes, and the rest is history. So all of these guys are weighing that. But when I look at Zach Wilson and Justin Fields, and Boog is right, like, you see the live arm and all of that. But remember, Justin Fields' pro day is the day. So I'm sure some narratives are going to change after he performs as well with his lively arm. I just can't see much in Zach Wilson's film that tells me he's head and shoulders above Justin Fields. And maybe I'm not detailed. Maybe I don't have the watchful eye of all of these guys breaking these games down. But the film matters. I'm still a film guy. Maybe at some point it could be an analytical guy, or I could look at these traits and say all of this stuff about the arm. But until I die, I'm going to probably depend on that damn film when it comes to football and football players.
Well, we'll get to see some more of that film today. Again, his pro day is coming up, but we're going to take you there on what is a critical day for Fields and all of this. You'll hear other voices saying he should probably be the number two pick in this draft. We'll get a chance to see why, and Lewis Riddick will join us from there. Meanwhile, controversy at the end in college basketball. The call that had LeBron James and a member of the winning coach's family shaking their heads. You're not going to believe it.
NBA fans, listen up. You've got to try Pick 6, the newest fantasy app from DraftKings, an official partner of the NBA. Getting started is simple. Select if a player will have more or less of a stat. For example, will a player have more than one rebound, or will a player have less than 3.5 assists? Pick your favorite players and compete for huge cash prizes. Download the new DraftKings Pick 6 app now using code PARLAY and take on the competition with your best NBA player picks. Only on DraftKings Pick 6 with code PARLAY. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 18 plus in most eligible states. Age varies by jurisdiction. Eligibility restrictions apply. Pick 6 not available in all states, including but not limited to Connecticut and New York. For up-to-date lists of states, visit dkng.co/pick6states. Void where prohibited. See terms at pick6.draftkings.com/promos.
We are back with more of The Wizard of Groz. Dan Graziano with his insight after the blockbuster draft trades. Dan, what do you have for us, beginning with the Falcons?
I need to get a better hat. But the draft gets really interesting with the Falcons pick at number 4 now. If we're assuming quarterbacks go off the board 1, 2, 3, what does Atlanta do? Do they take the next best quarterback and have him sit and learn behind Matt Ryan? Do they take the best non-quarterback in the draft? Do they get offers for that 4 pick from teams that want to go up and grab a quarterback with the top 3 off the board? Could be some really nice offers. Falcons now sitting in a really good spot. The Eagles move back. They were at 6. They end up at 12. But in order to do that, they pick up an extra first-round pick next year, which means if Carson Wentz plays 75% of the Colts' offensive snaps, the Eagles will have 3 first-round picks in next year's draft. If Jalen Hurts is the answer, they have all kinds of picks to build a team around him. If he's not the answer, they have all kinds of picks they can use to find the guy who is. The 49ers once thought Jimmy Garoppolo was the answer. They no longer believe that. They say they're going to hold on to him for this year. I believe them that their plan is to hold on to him until such time as whoever they pick third is ready to take over and help them win. Remember what Kyle Shanahan said yesterday. They believe they can win with Jimmy Garoppolo. The problem is he hasn't stayed healthy. So when he's on the field, he's a guy they think can help them win, but he hasn't been on the field enough, and that's why they need to look toward the future at the position.
Absolutely, and as I bring the guys back into the conversation, the numbers are pretty stark. He has missed 23 out of the 48 games over the last 3 seasons. So that's, hey, you could do the math yourself. He's basically been hurt half the time. And Dan, everyone will connect him to New England because of the history there with Belichick and everything else.
Yeah.
Is that a reasonable connection for us to be making right now, Jimmy Garoppolo and the Patriots?
It is a reasonable connection, and wouldn't there be some symmetry there if they end up trading him back to New England at the October trade deadline, which is when New England traded him to San Francisco some years ago? But that's a possibility, as is a trade, you know, during the draft or during training camp this year or even in the offseason. So, keep New England, obviously, but New England will continue to look for options in the meantime, and if they find one that they like better, then that probably takes them off the table. But, yeah, as you called around this offseason and ask people, what do you think the Patriots are going to do at quarterback? You heard a lot of, oh, they'll get Garoppolo back. That's just too obvious.
They'll get Garoppolo back. That's too obvious. What do you think, Marcus Spears?
I think it'll be a good fit because he's a quarterback you have to insulate. And when we're talking about these guys, like, are they able to lift you above or do you have to surround these guys? Now, don't get it twisted. Every quarterback needs a good system. They need good players around them. That's not what I'm saying. But we know the next level or the next step. Jimmy Garoppolo would be fine in New England. They just went out and got Jonnu Smith. They signed Hunter Henry. They going back to this 12 personnel, 2 tight end. They want to run the football and they want to ask a guy to manage the game. Take care of the football because we win by running the football, special teams, and defense. Jimmy G would be fine in New England. It would be not only going back to his roots, but it also would be a great situation that he's already used to in that offense with Josh McDaniels.
And then, Booger, there's the other side of it, which is we just sat here talking about San Francisco was thinking championship thoughts. Are they ready to hand the ball to a rookie starting week 1 to win them that championship? If you're the 49ers, are you willing to trade away Jimmy Garoppolo before the season?
No, Greeny, I definitely wouldn't do that. And I think if you listen to Kyle Shanahan, Kyle is pretty honest. Like, he'll tell you exactly what he's thinking. And he told us, hey, Jimmy G right now gives us the best chance to win. And when you look at that team with Nick Bosa coming back and all those parts, I think they still feel like they're a Super Bowl contending team when healthy. So who gives you the best chance? I think Kyle in his mind is saying, okay, we can have a very Kansas City Chiefs-like approach. When they had Alex Smith, we're going to play him. And when we think Pat Mahomes is ready, they put him on the field. It was the last game of the season, but they won a lot of games with Alex Smith. I think the 49ers are thinking the exact same thing. Jimmy G will give them the best chance to win. Because, Greeny, you can't go into that locker room with a team that's ready to win a Super Bowl and say, hey, I'm rolling Mac Jones, Justin Fields, Trey Lance, whoever out there, and say that gives us the best chance to win. Because we know one thing about rookies. All rookies will make mistakes. And if I'm trying to win a Super Bowl, if I'm going out busting my behind, getting ready to have a comeback year, don't give me a rookie. Give me somebody that gives me an opportunity to win, and Kyle knows that. Now, when that rookie is ready, I think Kyle knows that Bill Belichick did him a favor by sending Garoppolo to 49ers. So wouldn't it be quite obvious that Kyle would do Jimmy G and Bill the same favor and send him back? So I think that's how it's going to work. I don't think Jimmy G gets traded anytime soon, Greeny.
It's all in the timing, and it's something to keep an eye on. Outstanding. So much more football as we go. But now to the controversy of the night. Game of the night all boils down to one play and one call not made. Paige Beckers in UConn. Baylor and a thriller. Final seconds. Down one. Baylor. Dejanay Carrington. Oh, she's fouled, and it's not called. There's just no other way to say it. Take another look. Take 10 looks if you want to. Look at all the photos, the still photos that you will find all over Twitter last night as it exploded. Kim Mulkey can't believe she didn't get the call. It then leads to this, a desperation heave, and it's not even an opportunity, and it is UConn that advances 69-67. Geno back in the Final Four again, but the frustration was everywhere. LeBron James saw it. He said, come on, man, that was a foul. Of all people, Geno Auriemma's daughter tweeted, that should have been a foul. And after the game, Geno was asked about it.
Everybody from LeBron James actually to your daughter tweeted, that was a foul at the end.
Really? Maybe. I don't think LeBron's ever won a game on a bad call by the other team, by the other officials, do you think? I probably doubt that in his career he's ever won a game and decided to give it back because he looked at it and went, that was a foul. So it is what it is.
What did you see?
I was surprised they didn't call a foul.
Then write it like that. You don't need a quote from me. I've got still shots and video from two angles. One kid hits her in the face and one kid hits her on the elbow.
Candidly, that's true. There's no question it was a foul. It wasn't called, and so on they go. Tonight on ESPN and the ESPN app, the other two Elite Eight matchups. We'll see if we get anywhere near the drama. 7 Eastern, Texas and South Carolina, and then it's Louisville and Stanford. The action continues tonight, ESPN and on the ESPN app. Meanwhile, coming up here, it is the throw that sent Twitter into a tizzy over the weekend. So why wasn't Lewis Riddick as impressed as everybody else? He'll tell you when he joins us live next. Get up on ESPN. Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use the code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use the code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%. We're back on Get Up, and today is the next step in the NFL journey for Ohio State quarterback Justin Fields as he embarks on his pro day. Scouts from all over the league expected to attend his workout in Columbus, Ohio. And you know, it's been sort of an interesting story here. Coming into this season, Trevor Lawrence and then Justin Fields were seen pretty much as locks to be picked 1 and 2 in the upcoming draft. But after an up-and-down season at Ohio State, the question now is, where will Justin Fields land? Justin Fields arrived in Columbus in 2019 with something to prove.
Fields to the 10, Fields to the 5, leaps and lands in the end zone for a touchdown.
Leaving Georgia after a turbulent freshman season, Fields found the perfect place to showcase his enormous talent. That first year at Ohio State, he became just the 6th quarterback ever to throw 40 touchdowns and run for 10 more.
Fields dials it downfield. It is caught. Touchdown, Ohio State.
In fact, his 41-3 touchdown to interception ratio is the all-time single season record. Those numbers were enough to propel him onto the top of many 2020 preseason draft boards, just behind Trevor Lawrence.
He's got all the talent in the world to be a stud at the position.
But then, after the stops and starts brought on by the pandemic, Fields' final season was inconsistent. Yes, he was named the Big Ten Offensive Player of the Year, but against two good teams in conference, Indiana and Northwestern, he was picked off 5 times and sacked 8 more. In fact, his sack rate was the highest among all projected first-round quarterbacks, and whispers about his decision-making began to be heard.
I want to make sure I'm trying to make this guy think on his feet.
Can he throw with anticipation in the NFL?
Then, battling through injury after a huge hit in the semifinals against Clemson, Fields showed the world his toughness, throwing 6 touchdowns.
Fields on the run, launches for the end zone, coming back, caught for a touchdown, and Fields, an Olympic
to the sidelines, still not right, but delivered a strike.
So, what will happen on draft night for the former Buckeye? Will he hear his name called early, or will he have to wait? Such a fascinating story. And with Pollock here, Lewis Riddick joins us live from Columbus, where he'll be attending and working the coverage of the Pro Day today for Justin Fields. Lewis, thanks for getting up as always. And so that's sort of the narrative there. It seems to me you can seize on whichever side of it you want to. What is it you want to see today, and which side of the Justin Fields narrative do you tend to cling to?
Yeah, I think today what you want to see is you want to see the things that he showed on the football field all season long, because really that's all this Pro Day is about. It's about what can you do on the football field as far as throwing the football with accuracy and with zip and velocity and touch when necessary, and Justin will show that. He has got tremendous accuracy in the intermediate and deep parts of the field, particularly outside the numbers. He can throw it with touch. He can drop in the rainbow shot. He can put it on the line. You know he can throw on the run. He can get outside the pocket and create that way. They'll have some plays for him, you know, I'm sure, in this workout that will show off his athletic ability. We know he's a guy who's a sub 4.4 runner in the 40-yard dash, so you know he's a guy who can run the football, although that's not going to be shown today. But look, I think, you know, as far as the narrative surrounding Justin, as far as his decision-making under pressure in the two big games that you talked about against Northwestern and Indiana, look, I think there's a number of different reasons as to why he had some of those outings, you know, particularly against Indiana, where if you talk to the people here around here at Ohio State, they will tell you, look, Justin was trying to do too much in that football game. He was trying to win the Heisman Trophy. He was trying to impress people. And you know what happens when people get outside of the context of an offense as a quarterback, you can wind up making mistakes. So I think, you know, with him, he just needs to get to a place that's going to be patient, that's going to develop his third down passing efficiency and his ability to win from the pocket. But this kid, look, the upside, the sky is the limit with him, and Ryan Day could not be more excited about his prospects at the next level.
So, David, I would ask you the same question. As you analyze all of the obvious strengths, they're right there on the film, and then the questions that you hear, sometimes loudly and sometimes in whispers, where do you land?
Well, I think the strengths are undeniable. And again, this is nitpick season, and we're going to find those things. I think he's going to be a great NFL quarterback. I really do. I do think it will take time, but I think he's made up of the stuff that is a guy that will continue to improve, will continue to grow, continue to get better. Remember, he pushed for the season, was one of the main spokesmen for the season. He's an incredible leader, just incredible physical gifts. He's, like Lewis talked about, some of those things he needs to work on. He needs to work on checking the football down. He needs to work on his ability to handle pressure and know his answers really, really quickly. Today, by the way, Greeny, there ain't a daggum thing he can do. It's a pro day. He's throwing on air. Everybody looks good on air. So I'm not worried about that. Now, if we're going to throw the 40 in here, if he hits 4.3 something at 2.30 or 2.25, good Lord. Now you start to go, listen, I mean, even 4.4 for that matter, by the way, you just go, I can't deny it. I can't deny that the upside and the ceiling for this guy is as high as anybody in the draft.
Okay, so those are some of the numbers that might make people make those kinds of sounds. In the meantime, I want to go over something that happened over the weekend on Twitter because it involved Lewis and I loved it. So Zach Wilson had his pro day on Friday and the whole world seemed to sort of stop when he made this play. It was described as the play of the pro day season. It was, I mean, look, it's a sick throw. There's no question about it. And people were saying, oh, my goodness, if you can do that, then obviously the Jets need to take him. And Lewis Riddick went right on Twitter and posted this play that Sam Darnold, who plays for, you guessed it, the Jets, made in an actual game with actual angry people running at him, trying to do him physical harm, and still managed to do it. He didn't do it against air, and Lewis tweeted brilliantly, but I thought this kind of throw had never, ever been made before yesterday. I immediately sent Lewis a note saying that may be my favorite tweet that I've ever seen in my entire life. So, Lewis, explain, I know you're laughing under that mask, explain what you meant by that and what we should take away from it.
Yeah, what I meant was this. Look, I'm not trying to take anything away from Zach Wilson. He is a phenomenal talent, and you can see the natural ability to throw the football off platform from different angles is undeniable. And I know that his pass was longer than what Sam's was in an actual game. I get that, Jets fans. I get it. It was longer, all right? I get it. Sam Darnold, though, was moving to his left, evading an NFL pass rush. He had a helmet on. He had shoulder pads on. And he was throwing it to a guy named Braxton Berrios, who isn't exactly going to conjure up images of Randy Moss, okay?
and this guy was completing the pass, and he completed it for a touchdown in a game. Now, I understand that right now, Sam Darnold, no matter what you say about him, people are going to, you know, people are blaming him for every offensive deficiency they had at the Jets, every play call deficiency they had at the Jets, every point that was scored against the Jets. It's all Sam's fault. Everything is Sam's fault. Just get him out of New York. I understand that's what people want. And quite honestly, that's what I want for him at this point, because he needs a change. He needs to go somewhere else. He needs to start over fresh, because the path that they had him on in New York was a path to ruins. And you saw it. You saw it play out right before your very eyes. Okay? But he's still a kid who has phenomenal talent. He's only been in the league for a couple of years, and he was put under like some of the most ridiculous conditions in terms of setting someone up to fail that you could possibly be put under. I just hope that Joe Douglas and Robert Saleh set up Zach Wilson to succeed if, in fact, they do draft him. Because if they don't, and they subject him to the same things that Sam Darnold was subjected to, he'll meet the same fate, Greeny, just like many other quarterbacks before him have met. So let's just keep that throw in context. I understand it's the silly season. I understand it's the headline season. It's the hype season. I love the hype, too. I love the excitement, too. This is a great atmosphere at Ohio State. I hear the music behind me. I'm hyped up about today. But keep it in context, man. Football's played 11-on-11, and it's played with pads on, and it's played with people rushing you, rushing the passer. So let's just calm down. Let's just see how this all plays out. And that's really was my entire point about the whole tweet.
Yes, and I loved every instant of it. So, David Pollack, let me come to you, because I didn't get to ask you this off the top of the hour. Mel Kiper's big board has Justin Fields ranked ahead of Zach Wilson. Now, we'll see what today brings, and as you've both pointed out, very unlikely to change anybody's mind about anything. So where do you stand on that as far as the number two pick in this draft, David Pollack?
I would take Zach Wilson. Zach Wilson, Lewis talked about the ball exploding out of his hand. It does, man. It explodes out of his hand. He talked about off-platform throws. He can make them from all different angles. And he just has so many great throws that make you go, wow. I think when you look at him versus Sam Darnold, another thing too. Again, you get younger. You start the clock on him. I think both coming out, I would rank Zach Wilson ahead of where Sam Darnold was. Sam Darnold has also had more propensity to turn the football over. He did in college, and he does at the NFL level. Zach Wilson takes care of the football a little bit better, too. So I think Zach Wilson's a perfect fit for the Jets to start that clock over. You don't have to rebuild his confidence because he's coming in the league. Sam, you got to rebuild completely. So I think Zach Wilson's the pick at two, and I think it's for the Jets.
All right, let's hold this right here for a minute. I'm coming back. Lewis is going to stay with us a few more minutes. We will have much more on all these quarterback questions as we go. I'll also remind you that we got a good NBA doubleheader tomorrow night on ESPN. We got Luka and the Mavs taking on Jason Tatum and the Celtics. That's 7:30 Eastern. Then Giannis and the Bucks square off against the Lakers. That's tomorrow night. It starts with Stephen A's pregame Sports Center at 7 Eastern, and it's also available on the ESPN app. Coming up here, Mac Jones, the Bama quarterback, also on the field today. Are the Niners ready to make him the third pick in this draft? Lewis will weigh in next. Come on, get up.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
We're back, and it's a busy day. We were talking about Justin Fields having his pro day. Well, Mac Jones will throw at Alabama's second pro day today, which will be attended by the 49ers head coach and general manager. The coach is Kyle Shanahan, who talked yesterday about all the quarterbacks at the top of this draft.
It's going to be hard to find a quarterback that gives us a better chance to win than Jimmy right now, especially even a rookie in the draft. So that's what you look into. Now, if someone wanted something for that and it can make your team better in a lot of other ways, you listen to that, but also depends on how good you feel about that rookie. We're not there yet right now, and odds are we probably won't be. We got a guy in here who we know we can win with. We're excited to have him this year, and we're excited to have a hell of a quarterback right behind him, learning from when the time's his.
So they will draft a quarterback, but it's not clear that he will play immediately. And Marcus rejoins us, and so does Booger McFarland. But Lewis, I will come to you because I've basically had everyone this morning tell me that if the 49ers take Mac Jones number three and move up here to take Mac Jones at number three, they will, ranging anywhere from being surprised to being disgusted. What would be your reaction if it is Mac Jones that they have coming up here to take?
Surprised and disgusted, huh? Look, I'm a Mac Jones fan, man. Look, I love Mac Jones. And I love him because he embodies everything that every smart quarterback coach has told me is a necessity to play the position. Smart decision-making and accuracy. That's what Mac Jones's game is. Now, I understand that quarterback play nowadays is all about the aesthetics. It's all about Zach Wilson's throw on his pro day. And again, that's not to take anything away from Zach Wilson. It's not to take anything away from guys like Patrick Mahomes, who you know I love. But the game is still played from the neck up. And it's still about being smart. It's still about having everything available in your toolkit to be able to make good decisions and then throw the football with accuracy. So, look, we've seen Mike Shanahan and what he feels, even though, I mean, Kyle's dad, how he felt about Kirk Cousins when he was in Washington. We know how Kyle felt about Kirk Cousins when he was in Washington. We saw Kyle coach Matt Ryan close to winning a Super Bowl. And Matt Ryan and Kirk Cousins are not going to remind you of Randall Cunningham or any other athletic quarterback outside the pocket. It's about decision-making and accuracy. So I understand if Kyle believes that within the scheme of his offense, that Matt can do all the things as far as the wide zone boot game that he needs to do. And at the same time, is comfortable with what he can do on third down from the pocket, then go ahead and take him. You don't have to justify that to anybody. You don't have to become victim to this kind of groundswell that says, well, unless you have a dual threat guy, you have the wrong quarterback. That's BS. That's not the truth. But that's what the game has. That's what the game has kind of become used to now, because that's what a lot of quarterbacks look like. So look, I think it's going to be all the more intriguing, the talk leading up to the draft, because of the fact that it could be Mac, it could be Trey Lance, it could be Justin Fields, and that's what we love. We love the intrigue, we love the suspense, and we've got it.
Exactly. So it could be any of those three guys. Once again, Marcus, if the one of the three that it is turns out to be Mac Jones, what will your reaction be?
Shocked as hell, because everything I just heard Lou say, I agree with it. But you also know what I gather from what I heard Lou say? Jimmy Garoppolo do the same damn thing. So why would you give up all of that to get to this point to take Mac Jones? Are you resetting the clock? Is it about money? Like, what is durability may be the biggest issue. If that's the issue, I'm on board with everybody. If Kyle Shanahan says, I don't know if Jimmy G is going to be available. I got a guy that does the same things he does, and availability is a high price in the NFL. I get it. But all of those things Lou just said, you could describe Jimmy Garoppolo as that as well.
It's true. And he also got to a Super Bowl with him. Booger, what do you think?
You know, Green, I think the thing that we all can't wrap our heads around, it's like when we go car shopping. When a guy shows us the car that has all the bells and whistles, it can parallel park itself, it can drive itself, everybody wants that car. Now, how many times are you actually going to let the car drive you down the freeway? How many times are you actually going to let the car park itself? Not many, but we all want it. And I think that's the conundrum when you look at Mac Jones. Mac Jones can do what Lewis says. He can process. He has elite accuracy. He can do all those things. Now, Mac Jones is not going to win a 40. Mac Jones is not going to line up and outrun any of the quarterbacks that currently are projected to be in the top five. But guess what? We as fans, we as people, we want all the accessories. We want the car that can park itself. We want the car that can drive itself, even though we may never use it. And I think that's where Kyle Shanahan is. Kyle Shanahan is saying, you know what? I can park the car my own self. I can drive the car my own self. Here's what I need you to do. And I want to find a quarterback that can do this the best. And if they take Mac Jones, He's going to deem to say that Mac Jones can process and deliver the football accurately and make good decisions better than anyone else. And he doesn't care if Mac can park and do all these different things that the other quarterbacks can do. And for us as consumers, we can't wrap our heads around it, but because we are so ingrained to get all the accessories. We want everything, right, even though we may never use it.
And Lewis, that's a perfect analogy because you love the car analogies. You were the first one who called Patrick Mahomes the Ferrari. So what car is Mac Jones? What will we give him? What name will he have?
You know, I don't know, man. I'm gonna be conservative on this one because you know what? At the same time, I also called my boy Mitch the Maserati. So I'm just gonna pump the brakes right now. Although I will say this. Although
Come
I will
on, Lou.
Say this.
Give me something, Lou.
I'll tell you this right now, though. I'll tell you this right now. You know, Mac is kind of like a nice, smooth Mercedes, like Mercedes Mac, something like that, maybe. You know, that may be. But that, you know, you're right. That's not catchy enough. But let's just put it. I'll come up with something.
I will catchy
this.
Enough.
I will
it's
tell
catchy.
You this. I will tell you this. Mac Jones is the truth, man. Mac Jones has fought off all comers. They tried to replace him down at Bama, and he said, you're not replacing me. Do not count this young man out. I know that if he gets drafted number 3 overall, you're going to hear an audible gasp probably all through Cleveland when we're sitting there on that desk, Greeny. But I can't wait to see the young man play. I don't care where he goes because he is a fighter. Just like Justin Fields is a fighter, just like Trey Lance, Trevor Lawrence. This is a good group of quarterbacks this year, man. And we are being treated to what the future is going to look like, and it's pretty bright.
Write it down. Mercedes Mac. I love it. Lewis will be watching your coverage of the Pro Day all day today. Thank you so much for jumping in. You are the best. Meanwhile, NCAA Men's Basketball Championship Elite 8 tonight on CBS. You can also stream the games on the March Madness Live app from anywhere. For more information, go to NCAA.com. Coming up, we've got the latest post-free agency power rankings. Where does our crew see the favorites in the NFC East? You'll find out right after this. Let's get up on ESPN.
Delicious, meat nutritious, and the snack that packs a real protein punch. Wonderful pistachios, one of the highest protein nuts out there. Each 1 ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, giving you over 10% of your daily value. Wonderful pistachios also come in a variety of flavors and sizes, perfect for enjoying with family and friends or taking them with you on the go. And you're on the go a lot, taking the kids to school, hopping from meeting to meeting, shopping for groceries. Well, the good news is, not only are Wonderful pistachios a complete protein, providing all 9 essential amino acids, they're also great for all your adventures. So whether you're a pistachio purist who loves cracking open every nut or you prefer the convenience of no-shells pistachios, Wonderful Pistachios has got you covered. Grab Wonderful Pistachios and elevate your snacking game today. Visit WonderfulPistachios.com to learn more.
Oh, and a lineup we have coming your way on Sunday. Another NBA battle between LA's finest, the Lakers and Clippers, 3:30 Eastern on ABC. On ESPN, we have the NCAA Women's National Championship game at 6 Eastern. And our Sunday night baseball matchup is the series finale between the White Sox and Angels. Should be quite a day on Sunday. Meanwhile, First Take is coming your way in just a few minutes here on ESPN. Did Baylor get robbed last night? And should the 49ers keep or trade Jimmy G? Stephen A., Max, and Molly will answer those questions and more in just about 4.5 minutes here on ESPN. Meanwhile, I'm calling an audible. I need to go back to this here based on the conversation we've had all day. Mel Kiper released his latest big board just within the last hour or so, and you see the names on the list. Trevor Lawrence is one, a bunch of offensive weapons after him, and then you see Justin Fields at 6, ahead of Zach Wilson. For the record, a little further down, he has Mac Jones at 12 and Trey Lance at 13. That's the order in which he puts these quarterbacks. So after all of the debate and the yelling and the everything today, Marcus Spears, I'm asking you to do a Mel Kiper. Give me the Marcus big board. After Trevor Lawrence, in what order do you put these big quarterbacks in this draft?
Justin Fields next, Zach Wilson 3, and 4 obviously would be Trey Lance, 5 Mac Jones.
Okay,
and then we'll go from there. But you want me to
expound?
Sorry,
I didn't mean to stop you. Yes, tell me why you see it that way.
My bad. It goes back to the point I was making earlier. Like, after Trevor Lawrence, who's going to be a Hall of Famer and the greatest to play the position, Everybody else you're drafting based on potential and what you can turn them into and the traits that they have. And all of these guys have traits that obviously teams feel like they can bring out. Based on the conversation, Mac Jones seems like the guy that's more ready to play than any of these other quarterbacks. So maybe I should have him at the second best quarterback. But the point is, when I look at Justin Fields, the ability that he has and what he's gone through to get to this point, as far as transferring, coming out of high school, being compared to Trevor Lawrence and all of these things, and then going out and performing under Ryan Day and in that system, that's why I have him number two.
Yeah.
But it's a lot smarter people than me figuring this out.
No, there are not. I will fight you to death on that. There is no one smarter than you, Marcus Spears. I never want to hear you say that again. Pollock, I'm coming to you. After assuming Lawrence would be number one on your board, give me the next four in order.
I'll go Zach Wilson. Just the wow plays. You know, I think he's going to take time to develop, just like everybody else outside of Trevor Lawrence. I don't think he'll have success day one, but I think he's going to show you that ball jumps off of his hand. It's just crazy. It's nuts how much he just flicks it and it'll go. The deep ball is insane. After that, I'll go Justin Fields at three. I think if you're going to keep continuing down the list, I think Mac Jones would be four, and I think Trey Lance would be five. That being said, Greeny, putting all those in order, Trey Lance might have the highest ceiling in this draft outside of Trevor Lawrence. I mean, you talk about 6'4", 225. He can sling. That dude can throw it through a car wash and not get it wet. So he's got the ability. It's just going to take time to develop. But that's my top five.
I love that expression. Booger, anything jump out at you here? What jumps out at you real quick?
Well, my list is exactly the same as David Pellegrini. And here's what I'll say. I just wonder if the Jets were picking number one, would they take Zach Wilson number one? Because we've heard Schefter and other insiders talk about how some people around the league think Zach Wilson is better than Trevor Lawrence. Like, who anointed Trevor Lawrence, as Marcus said, the next Hall of Famer? I don't think anyone really has, but because Jacksonville and Urban Meyer are infatuated with Trevor Lawrence, he's going number one. I think Zach Wilson is clearly number two. I think the biggest wild card in this draft, based on what I've heard and based on even what David said, is Trey Lance. Trey Lance could be the biggest boom or bust quarterback in this draft, and I want to see where he goes. It's assumed he's going to be top five. Not quite sure, Greeny.
I see a lot of nodding on the screen. Quickly, Graziano, we've been acting like it's a foregone conclusion that Wilson is two. Is that the right conclusion, the right approach we have, that Zach Wilson two to the Jets?
Can't go all the way there to foregone conclusion right now, Greeny, but it certainly seems like all signs are pointing toward that, toward the Jets staying at number two and selecting Zach Wilson. We'll see what happens.
This was a great day. Thank you all for getting up with us here. Thank you for getting up with us here. Enjoy the pro day action, and we'll see you tomorrow. But the fun continues with First Take right now.